Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Our question of the day, JoJo, reset it for us.
Our question of the day is, you know, the draft coming up next Thursday, you know, and all these guys talk about, hey, you know, I talked to my dad, my mom, to do this and do that, kind of advice in the world. So today we're taking a step further. What's the best advice you've ever gotten in one sentence? The best advice you've ever gotten in one sentence. 615-737-1025. Chaser will read those off in a little bit. And some of these are, you know, the simple ones are great, and some of these are just really fantastic that you guys have sent in. So please keep doing that.
Lisa and Dixon said, when I had my first serious broken heart, my mom told me that everything is a learning experience, and she was right. Simple, a very good one. Gary says, don't compare yourself to others.
That's, oh my gosh, yes, 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 indeed. Do not do that. Your journey is your journey.
I like this one. Lenny says, if you don't lie, you don't have to remember what you said.
Beautiful. And I've told my son this, that a college football coach told me one time, and, you know, and other coaches share this as well. And you'll, Dr. Crane, you'll know this, and Chase, you'll know this as well. To the guys out there, whatever you do in life, don't embarrass your mother.
Oh, and that's a good one.
And when my football coach told me that, it was before Mother's Day, we're all going home. He's like, hey, whatever you do when you go out, don't embarrass your mom. And I was like, man. So I've always told my son this. I was like, whatever you do, don't embarrass your mom. You and I'll deal with it on the side. He's a good boy. But I'm saying, just don't embarrass your mom and you'll be good.
Yeah. No, that's very, very good advice. Always take care of mom. Rob says, and this is Michael Scott, actually it's probably somebody else, but kiss, keep it simple, stupid.
Michael Scott's got some great advice.
Self-discipline comes from within, not from Chris. Yeah, so keep those coming, 615-737-1025. So, you know, a lot of good things, a lot of good ideas come from this show, and yesterday, I don't even remember how we were just talking about what to do at 7 and all that stuff, and you said, what if Drake May is sitting there at 7? I said, trade back. That's what I would do. I would trade back. I would get draft capital from that spot. But I noticed listening throughout the day of what others would do. And, you know, our favorite former quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck, joined the midday show as he always does. And he was asked, what would you do if Drake May was sitting there at 7?
If Drake May's stock does slip and he falls to 7 to the Tennessee Titans, should the Titans take him?
100%. 100%. I'm telling you what, if his stock is slipping at the combine, I'd like to know what for. Size, athleticism, arm strength, and then the interview process. You got to think, you know, I've had, you know, I called his first start, and I've called his, I guess it would have been his last game against NC State this past season because he didn't play in the bowl game. Like, I had him a number of times, had him in production meetings a number of times. He's going to be super impressive in the interview process. Like, so to me, when I hear, like, hey, his stock is dropping, I like, that feels like it has to be smokescreen to me. It has to be. Because, like, I've sat there and I've experienced what the interview process would seem like with him. And I don't think that there are going to be teams that walk away from interacting with him and think, that guy can't be a franchise quarterback. I don't think that, I mean, that would be the most unlikely scenario that I could imagine.
All right, so that was Tim Hasselbeck. Ugh. What do you think?
I love Tim Hasselbeck. I think he's one of the best. I'm going to 100% disagree with him on that. Look, there's a reason Drake May is falling. I saw a quote yesterday that some coach or some, you know, air quote coach put out there, executive or somewhere in the National Football League, and says, look, I like Drake May, but by the time we get him trained and ready to go, we'll be long out of a job. And I was like, ouch. I just, no, you don't need. And then what do you got now? You still don't have a left tackle. You don't have a receiver. You don't have an edge rusher. You got another quarterback. Now you got four quarterbacks, and what's going on there? I love you, Tim, and I think you're fantastic. But absolutely, there's a reason that Drake May is dropping, and you don't want any part of that. And look, it's starting to happen because you've seen this now. They're starting to pick everybody apart, and they're picking Drake May apart left and right. I think he's going to fall like Aaron Rodgers or Will Levis does, man. I'd be shocked now if he goes in the top 10. Titans, stay away from him.
Yeah, look, I'm not as concerned about the dropping part. I still think Drake May is a very good quarterback. You don't need a quarterback. You have decided that Will Levis is your guy, at least for the foreseeable future. You are building around Will Levis. I agree. You need a left tackle. You need some other things as well, but especially you really need a right tackle. You need both tackles. So you got to start addressing that. And even though, like, if you could get away with it and you take a quarterback every year, great. But if you're taking one in the first round at pick number 7, you are basically saying, hey, we're going to hit reset again. And then you're going to start the process all over again. Go with Will Levis right now. If he's still there, then you know there's going to be a team behind you, Minnesota or Denver, that is going to be calling and chomping at the bit to move into that spot.
Oh, yeah. Listen, have I not seen enough from Will? Did Will Levis do something so bad that now we don't like him? I mean, am I missing the point here? I mean, Tom Brady thinks he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the other guys, you know, they thought he was great last year. I just don't – why you get bogged down? If he's the guy, ride with him. Just go with it. I think Callahan has seen him and liked him and see what's going on, that they're not going to take Drake May. Again, I go back, Chase, and this is a thing where sometimes you have to do backyard basketball stuff. You know, you just play the game and let your instincts take over, if that makes sense or not. You go play these games. We saw with our own eyes Will Levis in Miami when their back's against the wall and Vrabel kind of let Will Levis go. And I know DeAndre Hopkins was fantastic, but rallying that team in the fourth quarter down the way they were, and that's one of the best comebacks ever with so little time on the clock, watching Will Levis just play football down in Miami was fantastic. I saw everything I needed to see from Will Levis in that fourth quarter. And yeah, now, did he make some bonehead plays? They all do. Joe Montana made bonehead plays. So did Marino. But sure, they also make great plays. And we saw Will Levis in that fourth quarter in Miami just carve up and just play football, let the instincts take over. I just don't know all this talk like, if he's there, take Drake May at 7. No.
No, and I agree that I think a lot of this, what Tim said, a lot of it's smokescreen that, you know, other teams are putting out there. Like, if you really, really want a guy, you want to make teams think that you don't want him, and, you know, then all that stuff. Oh, there's something wrong with him, things like that. But I'm with you. I'm not doing it. I'm trading back. If your guy is not there at 7, or you're getting just blown up with phone calls and offers you can't refuse because May is sitting there, then I'm moving back. Trevor Maddich also weighed in with Stillman and Company. Here was his thoughts.
I would not take it. I would still take Joe Alt if it's between those two. Now, I have tremendous respect for Tim Hasselbeck. I mean, he played the position in college and in the NFL. He's one of the best analysts out there for college and NFL football. I've got great respect for him. And I've got to say that I just see this differently. And the reason I see it differently is twofold. One is that I don't see Drake May as a lock to make it. I think he's got great upside, but when you look at quarterbacks in the draft, You are about a 50-50 crapshoot, essentially, for whether or not they're going to be great even when they're taken high in the first round. Now, once again, Tim Hasselbeck and others that I have heard put Drake May in the top tier. Great. I totally agree. But there's a couple things that give me pause as to whether or not he's got a better chance than average of being in that 50% that is your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. When you looked at him this last year, and really the year before too, but especially in 2023 at North Carolina, he made some amazing throws. But he also made a lot of head scratchers. I mean, on crossing routes, he would slow down receivers that were running wide open across the field. They had to slow down or even stop to catch the ball. And instead of getting lots of yards after the catch, that allowed defenders to catch up to him and take him down right there. You know, he had issues with accuracy relative to that. And that's kind of a head scratcher, because it led to a lot of interceptions, not where, you know, he was trying to make something happen because his receivers weren't as good this last year as they were the year before. But just like, okay, that was pretty much a lousy throw. Against pressure, he seemed to be degraded, at least as I watched him, more than I thought he should have been, given his natural talent.
Given his thoughts on this as well. And look, it's Trevor agrees with us.
The whole time I'm thinking fight between him and Hasselbeck.
Yeah, well, I don't think it gets to that.
Fight.
Hey, disagreements are a good thing. It creates a good conversation. But we're in the agreement of, and again, I respect him too, but we're in the agreement of you got Will Levis. Yeah. Ride with Will Levis.
Can you imagine if they did draft Drake May?
Oh.
And now, you know, yeah, good luck dropping back to your five, well, even a three-step, you're still going to get crushed off the edge. That would set the franchise back another. If they draft Drake May, that sets the franchise back another 5 years.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I think it does set them back.
How dare you?
For sure. Well, you know, I do what I want. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Coming up next, could Super Leagues be on the horizon? No. We will discuss that next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Here on this Wednesday, you can weigh on anything that we're talking about. 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, Joe, you just sent this to us, and we've talked about this. But, I mean, with the way college football is going, I mean, we're going to see Super League divisions at some point. And there's going to be, what, two conferences?
Well, I who knows? But there's a proposed Super League division that's happened. I thought it was a joke at first, but it's picking up steam. And basically, all the conferences will be dissolved, and you'll have, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You'll have 8 different leagues. And then there's some group of 5 teams, including basically the South would be, you'd have your Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. Kind of the old SEC way.
Yeah.
South Carolina be gone. Missouri's out of there. Florida actually moves to another division. And you would place Florida with Georgia Tech. So you'd have Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. In the Southeast, next to it, you have Clemson, Duke, Florida, Florida State, Miami, NC State. You would add South Carolina. You'd add UCF to that mix, because TV-wise, you want that Orlando market. So basically, the Southeast is taking over the state of Florida. You got Miami, you got Orlando, you got Tampa. Everything goes in between there. And Jacksonville's pretty close to Gainesville.
These are kind of the old conferences, if you really think about it.
The only thing that's missing is Sewanee. Now, they have a thing called the Underleague Division, and it's like Boise State, James Madison. Now, the player in all this, Chaser, I've told you about this, is Liberty. The Liberty facilities, when we went up there and MTSU played Liberty last October, their facilities are as good as any college in the country. I'm not kidding you. Liberty's going to be a massive player in this game. I'd be like, well, you know, the TV market up in Virginia, blah, blah, blah. Look, they got money, and they know how to spend money. Also in that league, New Mexico State, Toledo, Troy, Tulane, UNLV, and University of Texas, San Antonio. Also, I think Tulane, because you're going to grab that New Orleans market. I know LSU's down there as well. But still, you know, these are these proposed conference games. You know, and the more I look at it, the more it's like, all right, yeah. Because you were right about this is kind of the way it used to be in the old days. Like the Southwest, Arkansas will move over. And they'll play Baylor and Houston, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and, you know, on in Texas and A&M. So I don't mind that, because it harkens back to the way it kind of used to be.
Yeah.
Now you've had some more teams in there, and now you know what's going forward with the money and everything. I kind of don't mind it because it's kind of like a solid foundation going forward.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. And I'll say this too. You know, I my soul feels good to talk about college football. So it definitely feels good. But I mean, this is in some way, this is where it's going. Like there's going to be, you know, in I would say in 10 years, college football as we know it is going to look different. Like when it comes to a division standpoint. Here's where I don't think it's going to get to these divisions necessarily. Because the SEC, especially, they're not going to give that power up. Unless Greg Sankey's being named the college football commissioner, I don't see the SEC trying to give up their power. I don't see the Big Ten trying to give up their power. The others probably don't have a choice because they're going to get swallowed. Like that's just what's going to happen. But the SEC and the Big Ten, they run the show, and they know they run the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And sure, you know, and it's... You know, it's incorporating more schools now that go in there. Like the Midwest, Cincinnati would not, you know, become of a Midwest conference with Illinois, Indiana. Louisville is added to that part as well. They'd be playing with Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State.
But what I'm saying, and look, that's fine. What I'm saying, those divisions could be there, but they're, I think half will be the SEC and half will be the Big Ten. And then you have a, you know, playoff.
Yeah, but do you take these eight divisions and you make the top two get a 16-team playoff? I mean, is it fair that, I don't know, UNLV wins this other division and they're competing, you know, over LSU who went 10-2 but happened to lose to Georgia and Tennessee? I mean, there's still a long way to go, and that's the thing about this. They're still going to debate who goes where and what goes where and how they divvy it up. But, you know, and that's the thing. I like talking, you know, we're not talking portal. We're not talking NIL money. Just football. Just the X's and O's, what goes on in the field. And it's so refreshing to talk about that now, about teams and rivalries and what's going on. Because this is a train, man. This NIL train, this portal train that's out of control. And there's nobody engineering this thing.
Well, it's going to be the college professional football league. I mean, that's what it is. It's... You know, and the SEC and the Big Ten are driving those trains. There's probably two trains right now, and the Big Ten is driving one, and the SEC is driving the other. Eventually, you know, I know, like, the Pac-12's gone. We have actually witnessed a conference just disappear. I guess they have two teams technically, but like they're gone. And then you know the Big 12 is still alive, but not what they once were. They're losing, you know, Texas and Oklahoma. And then you got the ACC that's hanging on by a thread, but I don't think they're going to, at least in their how they currently look, they're not going to make it because you got teams that are looking at what the SEC and the Big Ten are doing and going, well, okay, I want a piece of that pie.
Yeah. And exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got a 12, you had a 4-team playoff. And now it's a 12-team playoff. It's going to do that for like 2 years, and then it'll be 14. Before you know it, it'll be 16. Then it'll be 18. Then it'll be 20. You know, like it'll keep growing.
You know, what I like about this, though, Chaser, is the fact that it keeps heated rivalries together instead of, you know, some I've seen where Auburn and Georgia are split up and they're different conferences. They don't play. No, they should play. You know, Alabama hates Auburn. Auburn hates Alabama. They both hate Georgia. Georgia hates both of them. Tennessee, you know, hates Alabama. Alabama hates Auburn. I mean, it's this whole the whole thing that goes on and on and on, this big cycle, but they're all still together. And I think that's fantastic. You know, you move Missouri away from LSU, nobody cares. LSU doesn't care about Missouri. LSU doesn't care about Arkansas. LSU cares about Alabama. LSU cares about Ole Miss. So these schools are still playing each other, and the rivalries are still intact, and you go on and on. Like, you move South Carolina out of where they are now. Now they're in a division where they play Clemson. I know they play Clemson every year, but now you're playing Clemson, and it means something. And I always thought South Carolina, North Carolina is a great rivalry, and now you're together and doing that. So I don't mind this. You know, there's going to be a lot of debate going forward about what happens, but, you know, they're going to do it eventually. But let's keep all the rivalries together as best as they can.
So if I told you that I jumped in the DeLorean and I went 10 years into the future and got a look at what college football was, and I came back and I said, here's the deal. The season is basically going to be as long as the NFL's now. From England, that includes playoffs. You'll still play your 12 regular season games or whatever it is. But the bowls are going away, as we know them. Bowls are basically disappearing. And there are 32 teams in the playoff. And that basically takes up, you know, all of December and parts of January. And that's how you crown a champion.
I would tell you, when I got into DeLorean, I said, hey, man, put your seatbelt on. And you'd say.
Yes, yes, Joe.
No, you would say.
I don't remember. I don't do lines. Don't do lines for movies. I don't remember
You'd
them.
Say, where we're going, you don't need seatbelts.
That's right.
No, I think it's exactly what's going to happen. But I think it's sooner than that, Chase. I think it's 5 years.
Probably, because they see dollar signs.
Yep. Yeah.
It's all about money.
It is.
The quality of the game or – that's why Nick Saban got out. He's tired of dealing with the BS. And he sees the BS is growing. Now he can sit at College Game Day and eat his Little Debbies and argue with Herb Street and be great and still be a part of it. But a lot of these coaches, you're going to see them slowly but surely get out because they don't want to deal with it anymore. And the game is completely changed and it's not going back.
Well,
you'll still watch.
I think within 24 months, there will be guidelines and rules on NIL. There has to be. They have to do this. And part of these new super conferences, I think they'll have to put a rule in where everybody's on the same playing field. And look, we know, you know, when Saban goes to Congress and bitches about this and that, to me it falls on deaf ears because this is a guy that was pushing the envelope, pun intended, for many years, right? I mean, come on. And now, you know, it's not fair and everybody's gaining on him and all that. Whatever. Just, you don't do it, get out. That's fine. See ya. You did great. But at the same time, I think, you know, when these super conferences go forward, there's got to be rules that come into hand. And plus, you know, when they do this with a 12-game schedule, we talked about this, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, Middle Tennessee needs to play, you know, the Alabamas and the Tennessees of the world to get the revenue, and they just have to. So these other schools still get a piece of the pie, and that's great. But I think when you do the super conferences, I think the group of five guys, I think there should still be allowed a team to get in because you never know what that team could do. I mean, like Liberty. I'm telling you right now, Liberty's going to be a massive player and whatever happens in the next 3 to 5 years. Tulane the same way. You get these schools get in there, and if they can upset the apple cart, I'm all for it. If Liberty can get in and knock off a Michigan or Ohio State, and I know Oregon.
Yeah, but what are the odds of that actually happening?
But let's try it and see. Why not?
Sure.
I know Oregon beat the you-know-what out of Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl, and I get that. But I think one of those group of five schools still deserve to get in just to see what happens. And who knows if they will or not.
And look, I agree with you, and I was all about – you know, UCF should have been, and they look, they beat Auburn in their bowl game, and they went undefeated, and they claim a national championship and all that stuff. Cincinnati got boat raced by Alabama when they made the playoff. And so I just think you're going to see hesitancy of letting a group, quote-unquote group of five in, but the game's going to change with NIL and with the transfer portal. And to your point, yes, there should be some regulations, but the NCAA sat on their ass for so long and done nothing that the cart's kind of out of the barn on that.
Yeah.
So good luck getting it back in. Oh, and that's why a lot of these coaches, a la Nick Saban, are kind of like, you know what? Good luck. And you're right. There were things going on for years that coaches and programs would do, but in some ways, like at least they kind of knew the system.
Oh, they did. Look, when the head coach at Boston College leaves, what did he leave in late January, February, whenever it is, you know, a lot coming, you know, like with the underlying thing there was like, this is out of hand, and goes to the professional game. That's why people are like, well, Vrabel at Ohio State. Mike Vrabel.
He's not going to mess with it.
He ain't going to deal with this stuff. Nobody wants to deal with this stuff. You look what Deion's doing in Colorado. I mean, they're guys that – Boulder, Colorado right now is busier than O'Hare Airport. They got guys coming and going left and right all the time there. It's out of hand. So why do you want to deal with this stuff? I wouldn't. I don't care how much money you're paying me. I told you, when the coaching convention was in town, I was with 40 about 40 coaches at dinner. They couldn't get off their phone. I'm like, what's going on? Like, hey, I, you know, this one guy's leaning this way. I got to talk to this guy. I mean, it was nonstop. And it's going to – coaches are going to keep to say, I'm done with this. I'm getting out. Unless they do something to stop what's going on with the portal NIL, it's – I don't use the word – it's killing these coaches, but – it's kind of destroying the game, and they've got to put a they got to rein all this stuff in, or else.
Yep, and I don't know if they can. That's the problem, because they've let it get to this point. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. You can weigh in. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, here on 1025-1063 The Game.
I need somebody.
Need someone to find the real Beatles version of this song. The week's this week's Nashville's best. What is this?
Is this you and Phil Grand karaoke it at Brew House?
Might be.
Oh man!
This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card is only good for the Tanger Outlets in Antioch and Inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Yeah, sorry, Dr. Crane. I heard that. I'm like, that's not the Beatles.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay, buddy.
I even recognized myself. I was like, this is not the Beatles.
That's why we preview stuff, but that's okay.
Don't worry.
Fun content.
I did preview it, and I don't know why I still chose the option to play it. That's
okay.
That's on me.
It's okay. Look, Joe probably remembers this. When I was producing the morning show, he's like, play some Garth Brooks, and I played Friends in Low Places, and it was certainly not Garth Brooks.
Well, at least I used to work with a producer who never previewed anything. So you would hear 15-second commercials, and I'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, it's just a commercial. Listen to it. I was like, okay. So one of those
things. Crazy way of thinking.
But I'll tell you this, though. I talked to our buddy Jim White yesterday, and he's doing his annual draft. He goes and talks to everybody, and he's graciously going to include our own Dr. Crane in the draft talk, in the draft thing next week.
He is. I know he's talked to a Broadway legend. I gave my pick. So always fun when Jim does that. And he's done that going back to the Tennessean.
He has.
It's like, you know, when he was the beat writer, and the best beat writer that has ever walked these
by far. Let me ask you this. It's going to come out. Did you go with a solid pick about who the Titans are going to draft, or did you be all cute and say, well, they're going to trade to 11, then trade to 23, then
No, I went Joe. I went the University of Tennessee quarterback Joe Milton.
Right. I
went Joe Alt.
When we talk about this, I want them to draft Milton in the seventh round. I do. I really do. Because I want to see him at practice field just launch ones into the pond at Metro Center. I would love to see that.
I haven't even looked where he's graded to go, or to, you know, what round. I mean, that's the thing. We know the power he has. It's the accuracy. Like, how many times did we make the joke Jover throw? Because, you know, he'd launch it 80 yards into the first row.
Right.
You know, I mean, but look, he got better, and he's a great story that he transferred from Michigan. He was a starter. He lost his job to Hendon Hooker. He stuck with it. He could have very easily transferred again, and he didn't. So, you know, I hope he gets drafted. I really do. I hope he gets a shot in the league.
And
I would
absolutely
love to. I'd love to see him, you know, fighting as, you know, either the backup or the third or whatever with this team.
Who would you rather have, Joe Milton or Malik Willis?
Joe Milton.
100%. And look, Malik, nice guy. I don't know him, but you know what? Little pat on the tush. Take care, pal. And then Joe Milton coming here and just, again, let him play the preseason game, see what he could do, and have some fun with it.
You've heard me say this, and I say
get out
this,
of my office.
Yes, but I say this in a way that, like, I mean it more of I want it to help Malik Willis. Malik Willis should not be at the Titans offseason program right now. Malik Willis should be playing in the UFL. And I don't mean that as a shot. I mean that as he'd be getting experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he needs. And that's why I think the NFL's got to partner up with them and, like, allow certain guys to go play and what have you. Because, you know, I am sure that GMs around the league right now are putting most of their focus into the draft, as they should. they're paying attention to the UFL. We saw it last year. We've seen guys out of the XFL and the USFL before they merge at least make it to camps. And, yeah, you know, right. So, and look, now you got the Arena League, like with the Cats, and there's going to be players there. And I get it, it's a shorter field, but there's going to be players that probably get looks.
Go to Canada for 2 years. And look,
yeah,
you had Warren Moon, you had Doug Flutie, you had Jeff Garcia. I mean, there are quarterbacks that have come out of Canadian Football League, and they'll all tell you
Kurt Warner was in the Arena League.
Yeah, but I'd rather go to Canadian football. It's just sure, because you got a more open offense and everything. But that being said, and they all talked about it. I remember, you know, Jeff Garcia talked about, look, I was able to play every day in offense and be out there and getting better. Just go do that. But I'm with you, man. I mean, it's, you're going through the motions. You're not going to see the field probably. And we've seen what you can do and what you can't do. And no offense, just, you know, hey, take care, pal.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, now I'm looking. I'm going down this rabbit hole with Joe Milton, where he's Sports Illustrated has him as a sleeper pick, sleeper prospect. Interesting. I mean, where would you take him? Sixth round?
No, seventh round. Like, give me seventh round, I'll take him. Other than that, no, I'm good.
Here's this is Pro Football Focus. Milton is a physically gifted as they come at 6'5" and 235 pounds with good mobility and a cannon of an arm. He operates almost exclusively from the shotgun, involves wide formation vertical offense. His trump card is his arm talent. He is also useful in the power RPO run game. However, he still has ways to go as a passer before becoming a potential NFL starter. His feet are heavy and he can stop moving when he's scanning the field. He also tends to get tunnel vision on primary reads and fails to move on his progressions. His accuracy when throwing the fastball can be good, but his overall ball placement with touch is far too inconsistent. Okay. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, that's why I take him in the seventh round. I'd do it just for the giggles, just to have him come in and just launch bombs and practice and all that. A seventh rounder, at least you're getting some value out of that.
I think he might go before that. I think there's going to be a team that takes a chance, like fifth or sixth.
Maybe. I hope. Good for him.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if it's Detroit and then he's back with Hendon Hooker?
Oh, yeah, right. I don't think they'll do that. But, you never know. I mean, he's a Michigan guy.
Yeah. This is Chip from Mount Juliet. It says, Milton was a liability in Vols offense. He can't read a defense.
Well, maybe Chip was a liability in that offense, too.
Maybe. I don't know. Real quick, a couple of more pieces of advice or question of the day. 9926. You know, this is always solid. Don't eat the yellow snow.
Yeah, that's pretty good advice right there.
9912 says, or Roger says, my father said that you have two ears and one mouth, so you need to listen twice as much as you talk.
That's good advice from your dad. 4650, best advice I ever got from my pop was, get up and make a difference, from Patrick. Absolutely. Get up and make a difference every single day.
Alex, be interested rather than interesting.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that.
That's a really good one.
Jesse Ventura, this is Hair Metal Henry. Jesse Ventura once said, win if you can, lose if you must, but I always cheat. If you're not, you're only cheating yourself. I remember that. It's a good one.
Well, you never gave us your advice. What's your best advice?
Be your biggest fan.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah. That's what I always got, or one I got, and I liked it. And I have stuck by that. All right, let's give something away. Want to do that, JoJo?
Sure.
615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Stained and Seether at First Bank Amphitheater on Tuesday, April 23rd. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and also celebrity birthdays. 1025, 1063, the game.
Reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. You know, I saw Neil Diamond in concert one time, and it's still one of my favorites.
Did you go with Hope Hines?
No, I went with my dad and my grandmother.
Oh, nice.
And my aunt. Because actually, a lot of us went. it's a good time. It was a good time for sure. All right, with that, let's get to what day is it and our favorite celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen, today we have Bat Appreciation Day. That is the animal, not the baseball bat.
I was about to say.
Bat? Okay. All right.
We also have Blah 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 Day. I guess that's... Well,
that's every day.
You get that from 2 to 6?
Oh, we also have Ellis Island Family History Day. I believe my grandmother actually signed that book when she came from
Italy. Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty neat.
That's something New York, so you get that 11 to 2.
Yep. we also have International Ford Mustang Day.
Ooh, oh, that's the Mustang. Cool.
International Poetry Day. That's another one.
Nice. Joe's a poet.
Are you, Joe?
I am.
Didn't even know it, did you?
I do. I read poetry at the Brentwood Library from 2 to 3 every Thursday, the fifth Thursday of every month.
Oh, okay. we also have National Banana Day. Get that potassium. National Book Mobile Day. What? I don't know what that
could be. Maybe it's like a bookmobile?
Bookmobile.
Oh, my bad. I just
read that. Oh, bookmobile. Yeah.
Bookmobile. Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay.
Good job, Dr. Crave. That's what we're here. Hey, we're here to pick you up.
I need more coffee. Oh, boy. National Cheese Ball Day. We also have that. Crawfish Day.
You hear that from 9 to 11.
That's right.
And then National Kickball Day. What else we got here? Oh, my goodness.
Kickball's best.
And then School Librarians Day. That's
last. Shout out to the librarians.
Librarian. That's how you get your graduate degree.
Wait, what was yesterday with the librarians?
It was almost the same thing, I believe. It was like National Appreciation for Librarians Day. Yeah. This is School Librarians Day, so different, I guess. School, sure. And then the regular public library.
All right.
I don't make the days. I just read them.
Attaboy. Yeah. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get them within 2 years. First birthday today, the great actor Sean Bean. He was great in The Martian. He was also in one of those movies where he chased Jack Ryan around. Sean Bean. Oh, he was in National Treasure. He was the bad guy.
Oh, okay. 61.
75.
65. Singer Liz Phair.
I don't know who that is.
She's a singer.
I'm sure she's fair. 71.
44.
57. The great actress Jennifer Garner.
I know who she is. 48.
This is the Capital One, right?
Yep.
Oh, boy. 52.
52, exactly.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Dr. Crane knows what's in his wallet.
I do. Lint and a few receipts and 2 quarters.
Model and singer Victoria Beckham.
50?
43.
50, exactly. Chasers tied it at 2.
Know my Spice Girls.
Well done. Actress Rooney Mara. I think your grandpa owned the New York Giants. Is she the one that was in House of Cards? Maybe?
I don't know.
Rooney Mara.
44.
39.
39. The great musician who does the theme for Miami Vice, Jan Hammer. How old is Jan Hammer today? Or as my friends call him, Jan Hammer.
78.
84.
76. Chaser knows his Crockett and Tubbs.
Been around
done.
You enough.
His cousin's Tom Cruise, but actor William Mapother. He was in Lost. He's been in a bunch of Tom Cruise movies. He looks just like Tom Cruise.
So I'm going to say 58.
62.
59. Chaser 4-2. Killing it so far today.
I had to rebound from yesterday.
Actor D.D. Davis from the Bernie Mac Show.
62.
68.
28. And then finally one more to end it out here. Let's go with... today would have been Rowdy Roddy Piper's birthday.
You remember when he came in studio?
He's great.
It was awesome.
And I said, "You sure are short," and he smacked me. All right, last one. Rapper actor Redman. How old is actor Redman?
58.
50, no. Now I'm going to go a little higher. 64.
54. Should have gone the other way. Mm. Well done. Chase, you win 4-2 in celebrity birthdays. Well done,
Thank
buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well done. All right, that ends it for today. Chase, I will take you from here real quick. To our guys out there, we say every show, if you're struggling, please reach out and talk to somebody. You can call us or call 988 on your cell phone. Always somebody there to talk to you. We'll talk to you anytime, anywhere. Again, we tell you every show, you are tremendously loved, and you would be missed more than you'll ever know. Trust me on this. We love you and know that.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game.